This is Description, episode 64 for March 18th, 2009, with material recorded February 10th.
You're gonna learn the dual languages of my home and native land, and you're gonna savor my poutine! Because you're in Canada now, eh?
And that'd be a cut.
Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto, and wind right off the bat. How you doing? I'm Valerie, and I'm in Toronto. And I'm not outside because I'm on my way going to something that's going to be the subject of this episode, like I did last time. I just felt like coming out and doing those segments out here, because it's a lovely spring day, and as much as I love winter, and you know I love winter, this is nice. This is like when you're at school and they say, hey, let's go do a class outside. Yay! So, you know, here I am. So what you heard at the beginning there was a scene within a scene, a scene from Degrassi, The Next Generation, otherwise known as Degrassi to people outside Canada, because not everybody knows that there's a previous generation for there to be a next generation. And who you mainly heard there was Alanis Morissette from Ottawa, God bless her, starring in the movie within a TV show called Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian, A, which was the movie that was being shot in a couple episodes of Degrassi Next Generation. As an excuse to have Kevin Smith come on the show. Kevin Smith was the director, who you heard at the end there, who was of course also Silent Bob, who you would not have heard there. And Kevin wanted to do that because he's a fan of Degrassi from back in the day. Living in Jersey, he ran across Degrassi, earlier generation, reruns on PBS, and totally dug it. And he named one of the characters in Clerks, Caitlin, after one of the characters in Degrassi, who he was able to make out with when he came back to The Next Generation. Nice. He's the Jersey Canuck in the title Jersey Canuck at the Bloor, because while he's from Jersey, he does have some connections, both incidentally and psychologically, to Canada. He did live in Canada briefly when he went to the Vancouver Film School. He did not graduate from there, but it was very valuable for him, if for no other reason, because he met a couple of very good, useful friends of his throughout his life, among whom would be Scott Mosier, his producer, and with whom he does Smodcast, an awesome, 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 and by the way, did I say awesome, podcast that happens usually every week. And it is really good. So he has that connection, and he likes coming up on occasion. And most recently, he was here last month for a couple Q&As at Roy Thompson Hall. That's basically where, you know, there are questions, he answers, and he stands up there and just basically talks, which is something he's really, really, really good at, which would help explain why I like him. And while he was up here, there was established something called Kevin Smith Fest at the Bloor Cinema. That would be the other part of the episode title. So, you know, the Bloor Cinema is just up here. I mean, I'm on college now, but, it's in my neighborhood. It really couldn't be much closer. I mean, if they just dropped the fucker on my doorstep, you know. But, so, I could afford to go to one of these movies, and so I went to one. And that's the episode. Now, the Bloor Cinema has a fair bit of significance as well. Along with the fact, it's really, really old.
When do you get such big
stuff? It's like the big, well, it's a little unfair to places like the Fox and the Kingsway and the Review, etc. But it's kind of the best known, I suppose, repertory cinema in Toronto. And I worked there for one brief shining moment. I was, I just graduated from York University and, you know, had to get a job. And, you know, you don't just get radio jobs like that, especially if you're me. So I was, like, looking for stuff. And there was help wanted at the Bloor Cinema. And I went, hey. So I went in there and said, hey, can I get a gig? And they were like, yeah. And I said, well, I'm American, so I'm going to need a job offer letter that I can take to Employment and Immigration to get their okay. And they said, yeah, sure. Yeah, I was saying this like I had any fucking clue what I was talking about, because I didn't. I was so full of hope and promise, and certainly couldn't be any trouble. I'm just a normal person wanting to get a job. Yeah, of course. So I get trained for one night, which was pretty cool. Worked at the snack bar. Thought, certainly I could do that. Worked at the snack bar, El Camp Lanes, Conneaut, Ohio. So that shouldn't be any problem. Fucked up the popcorn machine, but otherwise went fine. And so I got my job offer, and off I went to Employment and Immigration on Islington in the West End, and presented it to them, and they went, you know, your student visa expired when you graduated. Oh, yeah, okay. So that means that you have no legal reason to be here right now. Wah, wah. Okay, so they didn't detain me right there and then. I would get a mark on my permanent record, as I would learn a little later. That's another story, but I'm here, and I have no lasting injuries from that. But needless to say, they weren't going to let me have that job. So I couldn't do it. I went back, I said, sorry guys, they said no, and sorry about that. And he said, well, that's a drag, it would have been great. And that was it. So that was my little experience working for the Bloor Cinema. It was very nice, the brief time it was there. So I'll go there on occasion, but I hadn't been there for a few years, which means I hadn't been there since the last renovation. The thing that has been around since like 1905, 1908, something. So they had a renovation like in the 40s, but they had another one a few years ago when little pieces of the ceiling started to fall. So I hadn't been since then. By the way, it's all patched up, everything's cool. So I hadn't been there since then. So I thought, hey, good opportunity for a soundseeing tour. So here we go. In February, early February, night 3 of Kevin Smith Fest. Yay. It is a strangely mild early February night in the annex, and I'm on my way, running late again, to the Bloor Cinema, which I believe we've been talking about for night 3 of the Kevin Smith Fest. This basically means 6 Kevin Smith films, and then after each one there's one of his patented Q&As with the man himself. So first night was the Clerks movies. The second night, last night, was Mallrats and Chasing Amy. And tonight is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, later, at 10. But now at 7, I think about 15 minutes away right now, is the one I'm seeing, which is Dogma. Which I think, yeah, is the only Kevin Smith film that I ever saw in a theater. I believe The Varsity, the other direction. And I love that movie. And to see This is my first Kevin Smith Q&A. They are legendary. He's doing a series of big snazzy ones at Roy Thompson Hall. But he's also doing these, which is very, very, very cool because I can't afford any of those big snazzy ones. And I think he has a place on this show, frankly, because he's the Jersey Canuck. He lived in Vancouver for a short period of time. He's got friends here, like Malcolm Ingram, who's on the last couple Smodcasts making a bunch of trouble, who lives in a church in Wellesley, and who was asked, one of the Facebook administrators for the Facebook event for this. And he's been on Degrassi, he loves Degrassi. So people think of him as being an honorary Canuck. And I used to be an honorary Canuck, and then I became a full one. So, we're just here. I feel like I should bag off a second. So we're at the corner of Bloor and Lippincott. Well, Lippincott going south and Albany going north. On one corner is the Starbucks. The other corner is the Second Cup, where I always used to go a lot. Third corner is Popper's Pub. I've been out in the patio. And here in the corner I'm at is Roman Espresso Bar, which is this chain from Israel. Honest Ed sign not far away. Now, the Bloor Cinema from the outside is an incredibly unspectacular looking theater at best. And, but it's old. And it's there. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside in this particular case, just so long as it's still there and the inside is still happening. So I'm a little concerned about going in. The line has dispersed again because I'm late. And, but I'm a little concerned about being too obvious with my recording equipment, meaning my little Griffin lapel mic and iRevri P790 that nobody notices. But the one time I think they're not going to notice is going to be the one time they do and go, I'm sorry, you made a recording device in here for this event? No. So I'm going to stop recording and then hook it back up when I get back in there. I think. Hang on. Okay, so I've got my Tank House Ale from Mill Street. Thank you very much, Mill Street. And thank you for whoever licensed this thing. And I'm going upstairs. I should describe. Going in, straight ahead is the snack bar, which doesn't look much different, and I think it's exactly the same popcorn machine that I screwed up when I almost worked here and put too much salt in there. But nobody complained. I thought someone was going to go, what are you doing on it? Nope, nobody did. I'm drinking my Tank House Ale. There are stairs to the balcony on either side. And it looks really nice. It doesn't look much different, but because it doesn't look much different means that it's been redone. Because that was, 20-something years ago, whatever. I'm going up the left side of the stairs. Rich, dark red walls. And up to the top level. And this is where the restrooms here and also the main office. I'd been there. That was where the guy who ran the place at the time, wrote up this very nice job offer for me that didn't come to pass. But there are little old-timey signs like manager over the door, manager and gentleman. That actually manager's office is where I bought my ticket. I was buying my ticket at the box office and they said, no, go ahead, upstairs. And they actually had to tell me how to get there. Because for some reason I was thinking with the renovation, the inside would be different, but it isn't. The layout is the same. So I went in there, I'm standing at the door like I had been a couple times before. Going up another set of stairs forward toward the actual theater area. My purse is falling off my shoulder. And here's the balcony. I'm trying to remember if I'd ever been in the balcony. I think I had, I think my friend Nada and I came here to see Roadkill. I think. I may be very wrong about that. I know we went to see Roadkill. And I feel like we were in the balcony. I feel like it was here, but I might be wrong. Let's say I was here. The balcony gives actually a really good view of the screen, which is full-sized. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 12, 13 rows, two aisles, three sections. And it's 50% full. Oh my God, and there's more balcony area above me. I'm sorry. There's more balcony area above me. As I turned around to see where the projector box is. And on the left side, there's a headless gray mannequin. I'm not gonna have a lot of time here. I don't wanna get downstairs, but let me go down these stairs to the lip of the balcony. Nice, wide, wooden, and cushy chairs folding down in the center section. They're a little narrower on the chairs are a little narrower on either side. Okay, this is, ow, lights just shone on me. Hi, sorry. Hi. Ah! People are here! I better get going. Someone just walked on stage. Okay.
So basically, right before the next show, we're doing a rap battle between two people. Who can recite Jay's rap at the beginning of Jay's Love Strike?
Oh, sweet.
More energy.
That's fun. I won't be around for that because we didn't pay for it. Who would steal a Mallrats poster? Think about it. Going down the stairs now. To go down the stairs. Well, there's a Dogma poster for me to steal. Oh, by the way, on the second level, there are 1, 2, 3 couches. Two nice cushy chairs. And a couple straight back chairs. Very roomy. It's very, not terribly interesting. When the walls aren't red, by the way, they're like this sort of, goldenrod, I suppose. But again, it's the quality, not the aesthetics, in this case. Down I go. And back into the main section here. Looking like a total dick talking on a cell phone.
He said people can turn him into a pin cushion. That's
main
a
area.
Cock in every hole, people. Alright, so you guys know the drill. I told you everything, so enjoy the women's show.
I guess I have to find a seat here. It's pretty much full. I'd say about 95% full. I don't know. Is there a couple more minutes? What time is it? I have to find a place. Same aisle seat situation. I'm about in the middle of it now by this point. I'm going to walk toward the front. With everybody looking. And now I'm at the front. And then there's a stage on top. And this brown colored curtain that is all the way up right now. It's one of those ones that like scrunch up when you bring it up. One of them. Hello everybody! I'm making a podcast. How you doing? So I'm walking back. Trying to find a seat. Where will I find a seat? Ah, Jesus. This is the second time a fucking leg got in my eye. Okay, let me go to the other side. It's honestly like, probably, like a lot of other rep cinemas everywhere. But, you know, it's ours. Damn it. Going to the other side. Through the lobby. They still have candy bars in Tupperware on the counter. Excuse me.
Okay.
There I go. Other side. Now I actually have to find a place to sit. And I look like kind of a douche with the cell phone on my ear. So I'm going to drop it and see if I can find a place to sit. The sides have this wallpaper that's kind of, it looks like it's textured, but it's not. Like a whole bunch of little fans held upside down, and it's kind of brown. Okay, seriously, I have to find a place to sit now. All right, we're going out to the balcony. Ah. Oh, well. Carpet. How do I describe this fucking carpet? It's got a red background with all kinds of gold shit on it. Okay. Back into the balcony where I'm going to stay. I smell an interesting smell. Okay, now I'm gonna find this. Hi, do you know if anybody's sitting down there? Okay, cool. Can I get in there? Great, thank you. Ooh, yeah. So it's showing, the screen is showing ads for some of the lovely sponsors of this fine event, like the Silver Snail, the legendary comics shop on Queen West, and some of the helpful establishments of what's called Youngsterdam, like the Kindred and Sacred Seed and the Toronto Hemp Company. Oh, lights go down. So it's time for fun and excitement.
Alive of delusion.
Chicago Clothes from an album. It's an album now, for real. It's available to be bought and everything. It's called Rain and Sun. Now, I've been playing Amber's music ever since I got the masters from CD of the masters from Mo, and love it, love it, love it, as you can probably tell from me playing stuff all the time. And but it had been a while, and since the CD was released, I thought, well, hey, I should play another song from there. What can I do? And I don't know why this song occurred to me, but it just sort of did in working on this episode. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it reminded me of Zach and Miri. Or no. So, nevertheless, that song and a bunch of other awesome, fantastic songs are in an actual physical CD now. Hang on, walking by here. I had to pause for the romantics. an awesome CD called Rain and Sun that is now available on CD Baby. So, for heaven's sakes, go get it. You can go to the CD Baby page. There are a bunch of little samples of every single frickin' song. And go for it. To get the Amber's record and read other interesting things that I may have written about this episode, and get lots and lots of informative links about the Bloor Cinema, about Kevin Smith, about whatever the fuck knows where, go to the blog, why don't you? DescriptionToronto.com. And now let's go back to the Bloor Cinema and little pieces and parts from Kevin Smith's Q&A after Dogma.
I like this one. Yeah, I wish I would have done like another draft and shit, but oddly enough, it feels like it was written by like a 29-year-old, but it was written by a 21-year-old. I wrote that before I wrote Clerks. And it just plays like a comic book movie, man. Like, that's what I like about it. It's a real hardcore comic book movie. It looks like a, I mean, not looks like it, but it's supposed to be like a big graphic novel. And then there's just some times where you look at it and you're like, this looks like a fucking Ed Wood picture. Like, you got like this powerful angel who's dropping people from the sky, and one motherfucker hits him with a folding chair in the chest. And there's like, it doesn't happen once, it happens multiple times where it's just like the streets all fucking dirty and all these dead bodies and shit, and you're on God, and then you cut away and you cut back and it's all clean and shit. Like a real movie would have done the special effect and shit, where just like cut away and cut back. Dead Bethany and bloody in the hole and shit, and fucking Lord does this shit, and fucking cut the reactions like, oh! And then cut back and she's like, oh, it's not there anymore. I couldn't, that's the thing that was cracking me up. I was watching that going, man, this dude is this such a rank amateur filmmaker. Yes?
I got a confession and a question.
I came to the Q&A where Maple Leaf sweating. And all the kids there laughed at me. They wouldn't let me ask the question. They sent me to their father and he made me pray, and I prayed that.
Wearing my Toronto Maple Leaf sweater, I went to the church and prayed to God.
I asked God to send me right away 100 million moths that would eat up my Toronto Maple Leaf sweater.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to say, I'm sure on behalf of everyone here, fucking thank you, man. Thanks for coming out.
Led to my spirit in such a way that my wife now hates me.
Awesome!
Let me get to the joke.
Okay.
My wife's shit. I'm like, we fuck 3 times a day, once in the butt. Do you hear me? Now I'm in charge again. She's like, hey, dude, you hit your god in Canada, not down here.
It's the beer.
What's that?
It's the beer.
It's the beer?
Yeah.
If only I was drinking. It comes from a misguided sense of, like, self-assurance. Assured. We. Anyway, but thank you for having me. I mean, I'm not going off, so please don't bug. Let me just get this out. I was feeling really blue, and you guys have totally picked me up all week long. It's been a wonderful, wonderful trip for me. I had such a great time. So, Michelle, these two are so sick of hearing it. Every day at a certain point, it's true. Every day at a certain point, I go, like, I know I'm going to die on a flight home. Like, this has been my bucket list week, man. You know, Roy Thomas sold out twice, Blur thing, and then I went to the Hockey fucking Hall of Fame and shit.
Yeah.
What's that? I was just staring at my wife going, she's sexy. But I'm trying to tell you a story. I feel like all my dreams came true kind of in a weird way this week, and now I feel like I'm going to die on the plane right home. So everybody heard that, and if I do die on the plane right home, when they do the articles and shit, you can be like, I was there when he said
that. I someone been told for me.
Yeah, I'll be high while I'm dying. Going down, like, are we crashing? Yeah, well, fuck it now.
What would your question to God be? What do you think
will
respond to me? And what is your perfect vision of the
athlete? How come I got no neck on my cock, Lord? Why is it balls and dickhead only? Other points I see on the internet have shaft. And I got nothing. Mine looks like a fucking mushroom sitting on a marble bed. That's about it. I'll see you guys after the next show.
And I'm out, walking past the gazelle and past the line, going into James Knight Lob, going, why the fuck aren't we being let in yet, man? It's supposed to start 10. I don't know, they seem rather civilized. And the line, well, this part of the line, maybe there's another one on the other side, but Jesus, I'm going to keep walking around this block. I'm going to go up Albany here. I'm turning at the aroma that I was talking about here and head up Albany, and the line is still here. It's about 3 people thick. Now, when I was getting tickets for Dogma, they were saying that the least amount, the lowest selling movie so far was Jay and Silent Bob. I think that changed, because here's the line, still more line, people having pizza, like a box, still more line, going up Albany, still more line, going up Albany, still more line, and there's the end of the line. God, it's going to take 15 fucking minutes to get him in there. That's pretty sweet. Well, there you go. That was nice. So yeah, it's like a live Smodcast without Mosier. Although Malcolm was there, but he didn't say anything. I kind of wanted to go, yay, Malcolm! So I can totally tell that that's him, I think. Or else I'm just completely wrong, but... he basically looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, you know, I'm up in the balcony, so that's... okay. So you can tell I'm kind of energized. As for the movie, 2 main impressions. It felt shorter and faster than it did when I first saw it. I guess that's understandable, because you kind of know what's going to happen. But still, it's been... how long? It was 99, so... almost 10 years... so I wouldn't know exactly when every single thing is happening, right? But it just went. And it also was, I don't know, sloppier than it felt at the time. And it's really interesting to watch this movie now, knowing now what I know. Because back then, I was... so this actually connects to a previous episode I did on Buddhism. that, you know, back in 99, you know, I was still kind of Catholic. I still wasn't really sure what was going on, faith-wise. And so this was like a kind of a mind blower for me. Kind of. It's not like, oh, my entire spiritual life changed when I saw this movie. No, it's not true. It was more like, I don't know. There were just, like many things that are said in Kevin Smith films, they're like, there are things that get said where you think, man, I really never thought about it like that before, but it's so fucking true. But I never actually heard anybody articulate it like that, you know? And it's like the reality you never thought was, you never realized was in there, but was in there. Kind of like that. For me, it was the scene, and just pure fucking writing. The scene in the middle, I think it's the middle, where Ben Affleck's character, one of the angels that has been dismissed and they're trying to get back in. If they get back in, then existence will not exist and blah, blah. When he starts to turn, because at this point he'd been the good cop and then he decides to turn bad cop because he's just... Well, to be honest, that motivation turns really quickly.
You know, all I'm saying here is that one of us might need a little nap.
Wake up! These humans have besmirched everything he's bestowed upon them. They were given paradise, they threw it away. They were given this planet, they destroyed it. They were favored best among all his endeavors. And some of them don't even believe he exists. And in spite of it all, he has shown them infinite fucking patience at every turn. What about us? I asked you once to lay down the sword because I felt sorry for them. What was the result? Our expulsion from paradise. Where was his infinite fucking patience then? It's not right. It's not fair. We've paid our debt. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time we went home?
I was like, Jesus Christ, who wrote this? This is fucking brilliant. Oh my God. And again, I'm not a big movie watcher, right? I'm a word person. I'm a speaking person. Well, other people speaking person. And that was like, wah. I just stopped in order to say, wah. So that was worth anything else that would follow that scene right there. It didn't articulate, you know, everything about really, the whole movie does that, especially the first half, I think. But just the quality of writing in that scene right there. Now, there are other people who could name other one scenes in other movies by him where they could say exactly the same thing. So when I saw it again, I'm going to walk into a puddle again. I got to cross over to the other sidewalk. Excuse me. So to see it again, first off, to see all that stuff articulated in basically the first half, you know, now, knowing what I know, well, or believing what I believe, I guess, it all kind of makes sense now. It's like, well, yeah. Back then it was, well, yeah, but... And now it's like, well, yeah. It was a nice thing. And of course, the most beneficial thing about it, I think, is how he said, you know, after Zack and Miri Make a Porno came out, and it didn't do nearly as well as he thought it was going to do, or everyone was telling him it was going to do, and then he believed those expectations, and yeah, kids, you know what happens when you got expectations, you're up a shit creek. And it didn't work out like he wanted it to, and he was like, Jesus, I crossed all the T's and dotted all the fucking I's to make this work, and what happens? And so he goes into seclusion and gets depressed for a month. And he talks about it later on Smodcast. And I'm like going, man, dude, seriously. Now, I can understand that frustration. But I'm also like, Jesus, dude. I mean, I've had times like that. I mean, fuck, I think I had times like that just having bad fucking recording sessions last week. But this too shall pass. And so it did. But I guess maybe there was still some residual bad vibe, bad feeling, defeat, maybe, afterward. Because he says, although, you know, it's a very crowd-pleasing thing to say, but I don't know, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. He said, being up here for a week and doing these Q&As and shit, and just, you know, being up here and hearing the reaction I get from people and just being around these people and experiencing what I've been experiencing here and everything, it's totally brought me up out of this shit that I was in and made me feel better. And so he was, you know, thanking everybody for that. And that was pretty cool. Now, if you haven't heard anything that he's ever said or written or whatever, and you haven't been privy to this world, whatever, then that's going to seem like bullshit. But like I'm saying, you know, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. I believe him. And that's pretty cool. I've seen that with, you know, people I know who are in bands and stuff and whatever. And they just can't believe people fucking show up. You know? They're just like, man, I'm just doing this thing that I gotta do, and I'd be doing it anyway. Although it does kind of suck sometimes that, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, Sisyphus, basically, rolling it up a hill and down it goes. Although, you know, everybody's like that, right? But, I don't know, when you're a creative person, maybe it gets kind of written large. I mean, refusal, rejection gets writ large. So, whenever you hear of somebody who's really, fucking fanboy, really, has really got something, has said something that's like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, that was brilliant, that fucking all came out of your head, really? Jeez. And to have that experience come from somebody, it could be somebody like that, or a podcaster, or a teacher, or whatever. And then to do some, you know, tiny thing like, you know, drop $15 and walk 5 blocks, and have somebody say that what the audience, people like me, or, you know, other people have done in just kind of supporting somebody, even though it really doesn't seem like much to that person, except for a couple people who think they, you know, are fucking entitled to everything, but that really makes a difference and seems, I don't know, makes it worthwhile to someone who put out that creative thing, that thing you thought was brilliant, or continues to be brilliant, or whatever, that just made you engaged. That's a worthwhile thing. So, if whatever he experienced in the last week while he was here did that, even for one brief shining moment, because the creative temperament has a tendency to be neurotic and sink back into the morass from which it came. But I think we're going to be a normalizing thing. normalizing to a normal state of neurosis. So if that happened here, then cool. Then gall darn it, this country has achieved something. And I guess maybe there's some freakish comparison in me being totally up my ass to some freakish comparison they can make to me and this place. You know, this place, you know, people ask why the hell are you here, whatever, has made me feel, you know, there's been some shit times, obviously, but all in all, I feel comfortable and accepted and really generally accepted, and I don't know, better than I would be somewhere else. That there's some kind of weird validation or just basically some sort of feeling from outside that basically says, you know, you're okay. You know? That, I'm not saying that's like, as he would term it, the power of Canada, which got him to fuck his wife on top a couple nights ago. But, again, referencing the Q&A, so if I didn't have that part, it's going to sound weird. Still. But there are instances where this place, or maybe some other place, well, it has to be some other place, that sometimes people can just get their shit together and support each other and make people feel like things are okay. Yeah, it's kind of like that. I've made it to my apartment. I hope I've edited a lot out of this, but this is what I got from it. So, if anybody's listening who's part of that world, whatever. Thank you. And that'll do it for another episode of Description. Now, after I recorded this stuff, Kevin did not crash on plane home. He made it. And a little bit later, did an episode, next episode of Smodcast, meeting up with Mosier, who himself had been on holiday in Vietnam and other parts of Southern Asia. And so they did this episode. I went 2 hours, which is a stupid length for a podcast. But in this case, man, it was fucking awesome. Because some of the stuff about his trip, Kevin's trip, that he sort of touched on in hearing him speak and whatever I said, he went into much more detail about just how significant this trip was and how it kind of fit in to grand scheme of things and how it fit in with this recent thing he's been getting into, getting obsessed with Wayne Gretzky. It's been part of his recovery of some not great times he'd been going through. And when he started talking about that, I was like, what the fuck? Because I kind of went through something sort of like that in my teenage years. Wayne Gretzky was a big deal to me. I sort of touched on that in the episode in Edmonton. And so here I'm talking about this as an absolute trip. So I highly recommend, I can't recommend more highly this episode of Smodcast. I recommend all episodes of Smodcast, but especially this one. If you're in any way interested in any of the stuff that I talk about on this show, because he's just, like, down on it. And it was pretty amazing to hear somebody talk about all of this stuff like that. It starts, when he really starts getting into the trip, maybe about, I don't know, 43, 45 minutes in. And he talked with Scott about it, and it's just fucking amazing. So, and it so happens that he found out more recently about the Walter Gretzky, Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament. It's a ball hockey tournament that takes place in early June. And he got all, hey kids, let's put on a show, and went, let's go compete there. And so they're letting him. Because I just saw earlier today, I was on the ViewAskew message board. ViewAskew is the name of his production company and his world, basically, the ViewAskew universe. And the message board has been around since the dawn of time, sort of, and ridiculously well established, and some beautiful people on it, and I have had my moments on it. I'm Valerie in Toronto on there. So just today, I was checking out the message board, and there's a whole topic now on the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament, and Kevin's going to Brantford, birthplace and hometown of Wayne Gretzky, going to Brantford, and with his peeps, they're coming up with a team, and they intend on kicking some ass. And he's kind of lit a fire under other people on the message board, who are also forming teams and going to compete. It's going to be brilliant. And I'm not going to compete because I've never played ball hockey in my life. Yes, I know. This makes me kind of not really a Canadian. But, you know, team sports, quick thinking, that's not me. But I do fully intend to go because it seems like it's going to be a really awesome thing. And it's for charity. As most things involving Walter Gretzky are, because he's Walter fucking Gretzky! And so it's going to be awesome. So I'm also going to have a link to the information on the message board about Smodcast and about the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament, if you want to go. And there will be links to many other things. And that'll be on the blog. What's the blog? DescriptionToronto.com. DescriptionToronto.com. Check out other episodes, other links, dumb should I say, whatever. I'm very proud to be hosted by Justin the Podcast Landlord and publicbroadcasting.ca. The email is descriptionchio@gmail.com. Oh, there's probably something else. I can't fucking think of it. Now, what am I going to go out with? Well, I happen to be right now back in Kensington. And I'm in Bellevue Square Park. And I happen to... I'm standing. What? I'm standing next to the Al Waxman statue. He's been painted like a clown recently, but that only adds to his character. And, of course, you know, Al Waxman being the king of Kensington, which it is a show about back in, well, it's like a year ago back in the day. I don't know. Podcasting it is. So what I'll do is I'm going to play a clip, as Rachel Maddow might say, a teeny tiny little clip of that Smodcast episode I was telling you about, in which they do reference the place I'm at right now. So I'll leave you with Kevin and Scott. Thank you so much for listening and for downloading and doing whatever the hell it is you do. And take care.
King of, I wonder if Kensington was in Ontario.
That I old know, but I made a King of Kensington joke at one of the Q&As. Somebody was like, I run a college radio station. What do you want to hear? That's the theme song of King of Kensington. And I would say 6% of the audience laughed. I'm like, wow, I feel old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's obscure in Canada.
Even in Canada, it's kind of obscure.
He's the king of Kensington.